It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it is another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, good day, Mark.
Hey, good to see you. And we're having kind of a philosophical discussion before we go on the air today, talking about existentialism. I don't see how that affects our discussion, but you will be talking about existential needs, needs in relationship, personality, how that affects our relationships. I think you're talking specifically about marriage relationships, but maybe all relationships.
Yeah, all relationships, but primarily closer relationships and specifically marriage relationships. You know, this comes up sometimes too when I'm talking to people. You know, there are single people in the body of Christ, and there are people in the body of Christ, I know some well, have relatives that have never been married, and they never will marry. They have that gift of celibacy, and that's they don't necessarily have the same loneliness that some of us would have if we didn't have that gift. But they so not everyone has the intimate marriage relationship. However, there are supposed to be deep relationships in the body of Christ. And so, yeah, the idea of personality and relationship and what personality has to do with relationship and vice versa, I talk about that a lot with married couples, or we touch on it probably in every counseling situation that I have, or with each counseling client, but some more than others. So I just wanted to go into a little bit on personality. And if you are listening to this, I'm going to be referring a little bit. I have in front of me here a diagram that I've had around for a number of years. And if you want to see this diagram, there's an article that I have on personality at website ChristianCounselorsForum.com. That's ChristianCounselorsForum.com. I'll mention that later in the show too. But you would, if you went to that article in the archives, you would see this diagram in the article be a little more meaningful.
You gave me a bunch of notes today, a bunch of pictures. Did you draw all this stuff?
Yeah, that's a model. Yeah, I'm not a CAD person. I wish I were. I'd be really excited about that. But this, I don't even know if I could do this again today. It was done back in 2016, but I did it on just a word program somehow, and I don't even know if I could remember how to do it. But
I like that with some of my my graphics programs.
Yeah. You look back, and then they update the word program, and you can't do that anymore. Right. So anyway, personality, as I usually explain to couples or persons sometimes, personality is basically a defense mechanism, and it begins as a development of we move in the direction of safety and security. So you could imagine even a child in the womb, personality begins there. So I think a child in the womb can hear sounds from outside of the womb in something like 26 weeks, I believe that's it. I could be off on that number. But at some point, the child can hear outside of the womb. And there have been examples that I know of and that I've read of where children have been born with a certain fear of certain kinds of noises. And the way that they do that is the pregnant mother might hear a noise and get an adrenaline rush, and the child also hears the noise and gets the adrenaline rush or the cortisol rush, whatever neurotransmitter the mother, those glands are secreting, the child gets that same experience. So actually can be born with a fear to certain sounds, even possibly voices.
Interesting.
So that's the beginning of the personality. And so a personality is a how I develop through experience and experience under other people, particularly important at those formative years, early formative weeks, months, years, where the parents are responding to the newborn. And so the newborn is learning behaviors that solicit caring responses versus responses that feel threatening. And that's the beginning of the personality. You fast forward at 5 years in the playroom. Some kids share their toys. Some kids don't. Some kids take over the toys and become CEOs. Some kids stand in the corner and become...
Well, it gets... Which is it, nature or nurture? So it sounds like
it's
maybe
a bit
it was a bit of an even nurturing in the womb mm-hmm. can kind of form the personality.
Yeah, yeah, nature plays a small role, you know. And a quick example would be if you had two children, say two boys, for example, and one was born and kind of inherited certain characteristics where he was. Maybe smaller and slight, and then the other son developed inherited other characteristics. He was larger and more hairy. They would experience life differently simply because a quick example would be if they enrolled in, you know, sports and going out for football or wrestling, the larger son would get more kudos from the coach, more encouragement, and so they would. So in that case, their nature, their genetics would in some ways determine their experience in life, and it have something to do with the development of their personality too. Mm-hmm. But I think most of it would be nurturing. So the personality, the core of the personality is like a defense mechanism. So in this diagram that I have, which I have spoken about, we have a triangle that represents a personality. There's a bisecting line right down the center of the triangle. Mm-hmm. And so if you can visualize this in your mind, you've got the bisecting line, and then there's a distance from the bisecting line to an outside angle on the base of the triangle. And that distance would be the personality potential. How far from my defense mechanism can I venture out? And then I meet someone else that's ventured out from his or marriage situation, it would be someone of the opposite. So that would be his or her defense mechanism. And then there's an overlap. So there would be this shaded area, and the two triangles would overlap. Again, if you want to visualize this, there's an article at ChristianCounselorsForum.com in the archives, and the name of that article would be "Have Something to Do with Personalities." Mm-hmm. So we have this. It's almost like spatial counterparts that we have, where on the one hand we want security and safety, but on the other hand there's the need to belong and the need to develop self-image and self-esteem, which we can't do if we're isolated. Mm. So it's like a teeter-totter. On the one hand we have security and safety, but on the other hand we have these other needs that we need to belong to. And we need to have a positive self-image. Or you could say, on the one hand, we need to be protected. We feel we need protection. But on the other hand,
we
got to take a chance. There's a certain amount of vulnerability we have. Mm. And as we're talking about this, apply this to your marriage. You know, want to be protected, want to be secure. But on the other hand, we need to belong to, we need to have a self-esteem, feeling valued, let's just leave it at valued. Mm. Or another way of stating the similar thing would be we're either closed, and sometimes being closed off has a sense of security, feeling secure. But on the other hand, we need relationship and we need to be open. And so you have these this kind of a dichotomous dynamic. And we might ask ourselves, in fact, it's healthy to ask ourselves, particularly married couples, why would God create us that way with this dynamic, dichotomous dynamic where men are from Mars and women are from Venus? There are so many books written about the differences between men and women and how they don't think the same. And I talk to wives who say, I don't understand men, or husbands that say, I don't understand women. There's this almost the battle of the sexes. Mm. And you'd ask, well, why would God create something like that? And I think it has to do with our redemption. There's a dynamic that God created. You know, in Genesis 2, God is saying regarding the human, it's not good for man to live alone. So mm-hmm. then he creates this dynamic where there's potential good that comes out of that, necessary dynamic where we are in a relationship where we can begin to build trust and we can put down our defenses. And when we're in that position where we can begin to be vulnerable, God can work on our hearts too. So I think that that dynamic is purposeful. Not every marriage is the same. You know, if you talk to some marriages or you read a certain book or hear a certain lecture or go to a certain retreat, you're going to hear that men are there's a certain role that are that's part of the masculine world, and women are different. And that might be true for half of the marriages. Say, for example, they might say, well, the man typically takes care of the finances and is the primary earner, and the mother does the parenting and is the kind of the more artistic person, where the man is the more linear person. But there are as many marriages where it's just the opposite, mm-hmm. where the wife is the linear person and probably controls the finances and may even be the major breadwinner in our culture. Mm-hmm. And so it isn't the same for each marriage, but the dynamic is always there. There's always the dynamic where the two don't see eye to eye, and it requires this being vulnerable, being open, open for change. So I think this dynamic plays to the purpose of marriage and plays to the purpose of the body of Christ, the communion of the body of Christ, in the body of Christ, not everyone is married, but everyone needs these deeper relationships mm-hmm. where they can put down their defenses, mm-hmm. Be vulnerable, as compared to some of the what I would call formula relationship models, which we can get into probably after the break.
Formula relationship models?
Yeah, where it's about, you know, formulas for, you know, who should get married and how to feel good and how to do things better and that, rather than to recognize the purpose in the tension and in the dynamic itself.
Okay, how does your personality affect your relationship and marriage? We're talking about that this week on the Sound Mind broadcast. Daniel does a lot of marriage counseling, and here in the new year, if maybe you're needing some counseling in this regard, maybe you know somebody who's struggling, they need help, Daniel would love to provide that help. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yes, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. And if you're using that phone number, make sure your mailbox isn't full so that when I return your call, you actually get my call back. And people also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Office is Kirkland and Edmonds, doing also lots of Zoom for people that don't want to do the travel or they need a more flexible schedule.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in moments.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with an encouraging word for struggling marriages. You know, it's never too late to do the right thing if a husband and wife will fully commit to one another and apply a few biblically based fundamentals of intimate relationship. As a marriage counselor, I teach these fundamentals and their use. To learn more about how these might help your marriage, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel is telling us about how personality affects your relationship, particularly your marriage relationship. And you mentioned an interesting phrase there, formula relationships. What do you mean by formula relationships?
That's what I call them. I'm thinking primarily about one of the popular models, even the local model. John Gottman and his wife have an actual institution up here where they very popular, where married couples or people who are contemplating marriage can enroll in a program that they have, mm-hmm. and it's kind of a matching thing. You know, give you questionnaires and to determine somewhat of your personality and your traits, and if those will blend together, and so they can score that and say, you know, this is your likelihood of succeeding in marriage or getting along. Mm-hmm. And then there are other, you know, His Needs, Her Needs was a program that was around for a while. It may still be. Love Languages kind of comes into this too. But they're basically, for the most part, they're process-oriented programs with, you know, ways of doing things better in order to feel better. Mm-hmm. But errors of thinking that way is that these programs tend to share a singular fault, and that is they don't very often take into consideration the purpose of the relationship. And a lot of times the purpose of the relationship explains the pain and the frustration in the relationship, because it's actually the purpose of the relationship is to do a work within our lives, and it calls for change. It calls for, you know, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. He laid down his life. Wives, submit to your husband. Those are things we don't want to hear. Laying down my life, what? Submitting? Mm. But there's something in that process. There's a necessity in those things that is it's a requirement for us to come to a place where God can really work in our lives and where we can really experience the work of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We've got to come to a place where we're moldable, pliable, and God uses our relationships to get us to that point. So it's not always a good idea to find a way around frustration or around rather than going through and working these things out together. So a lot of the formula kinds of things, you know, how to tweak things to make yourself feel better rather than really you know, going the biblical way of surrendering and humbling ourselves and embracing change.
Well, are you against personality tests per se then? Or
no, I think that they have. I think they can tell us things. They can give us a handle on things. But if we look at them as a kind of a go no go or a an explanation for you know or a path to quick fix certain things, or if we look at them as a lens through which to maybe understand that if I'm uncomfortable in the relationship, it's probably not the right relationship, or there's a something along those lines, rather than seeing that the frustration in the relationship is there's a purpose in it. It's almost if we were to say. It's ironic, I would say, in a sense that if we have a saying, no pain, no gain. So if I understand the pain or the frustration of a thing, for example, if I'm going to climb Mount Rainier out here or some even a greater challenge, I'm going to have to go through some training, and that training is going to be painful. But I don't say, I don't question the pain, because I understand that it has a, that there's a purpose in it. It makes perfect sense that I'm going to have some pain if I'm going to make this change. But we have a relationship. Sometimes we don't understand the pain because we don't understand the purpose of the relationship. And so rather than go through the pain and embrace it and embrace the change that we have to make, we find a reason for why that maybe we're misunderstanding something, or maybe if we do something different, or maybe we shouldn't have been in this relationship.
Well, yeah, you're dealing a lot of times with people who are married, and now they're having problems. Mm-hmm. I've heard you say before, too, you're not a big fan, though, of premarital counseling either. It seems like a lot of times these personality tests come up more in premarital counseling. Mm-hmm. So they kind of, let's make sure that we're on the right track here before you sign on the dotted line. But yeah. you're dealing with people who have already signed on the dotted lines. Yeah. It's sort of like, so what's the point in taking, you know, a bunch of tests that confirm that you should never have gotten married? Yeah. You're trying to get people to move forward and say, well, you are married.
Yeah.
So let's find out what the purpose is here.
And maybe people say, well, we got married for the wrong reason. And I don't know if there's a – I suppose there's a very correct reason for getting married. Like, you know, we had a word from the Lord. But the majority of people get married, it's somewhat selfish in the beginning. I mean, let's face it, you know, it's that's just to be expected, you know, but regardless of why we got married, as you say, Mark, once you're married and you're in it, God has a purpose in it.
Got to make it work.
And so, yeah. So again, if you want to see this diagram, if that's important to you, because I have been working off of, I have a visual diagram, and Mark has one too, which I'm referring to. And there's an article at that's the other website.
You've got several websites.
Yeah.
BibleBasedCounselor.com and
CristianCounselorsForum.com. CristianCounselorsForum.com is where I have my articles. And so what you would do for this article is you'd go to CristianCounselorsForum.com, and then you go into the sidebar into archives, and you would find this an article on personality. And this chart or this diagram that we're referring to is embodied in that article. The diagram is these two triangles that represent two people or two personalities. The triangles have, each one has a bisecting line, which represents the core of your personality. And the core of your personality, the core of my personality, is my defense mechanism. And so the distance between the core of my personality and how far I can venture out. So in this diagram was a triangle that's represented in, there's the bisecting line, which is the core, and then there's along the base of the triangle, you'd have an outside angle. And the distance between that bisecting line and outside angle would represent how far I can venture out from my defense mechanism in order to be to meet other people, because you have to venture out from your defense mechanism. You have to be somewhat vulnerable, that is, in order to meet someone else who has also made himself or herself vulnerable. And then you have, so that's the personality potential. How far can I venture out? You may have heard the phrase personality disorders. That would represent, indicate someone who cannot venture out at all from their defense mechanism. And so they can't trust people. And they can't engage with people only in a limited way. They might be paranoid of other people. They might have a fear of other people. And so their world becomes smaller, smaller. They become recluse. They become unapproachable, narcissistic, antisocial, paranoid. Go ahead, name all the 10. They're wrapped around their defense mechanisms. They can't be vulnerable. They can't trust. They can't share. So in order to share and trust and have those relationships, these we have to venture out. Someone else ventures out. Our triangles overlap. Now I'm referring to this diagram I've been telling you about. If you can visualize two triangles moving closer together to where at the base of the triangles they begin to overlap. And so that overlap is what I refer to as relationship potential. How much overlap can there be? How close can those two triangles come together? And increase that overlap. So in marriage relationships or in relationships in the body of Christ to a lesser extent, we need to have that overlap. We need to be vulnerable enough so that that other person, so that we can overlap. So we're trying to increase our caring, our sharing, our intimacy, the love triad, trust, forgiveness, communion. We're trying to increase those things, and that means increasing vulnerability. Of course, we have to do it in a trusting environment. So that's why I say marriage should be that trusting environment, just like Christ and the bride. There should be that deep trust, so we become increasingly vulnerable. So I share this, and so people go, okay, good, looks good, I like your diagram, but how do we do it? So, okay. And it turns out that we have some tangible ways that we can do this. We can increase the sharing, the caring, the intimacy, the trust, the forgiveness, the communion. Let me segue here and say that love triad, trust, forgiveness, and communion. That's also an article. I've done radio shows on it, but that's also an article at Christian Counselors Forum in the archives. You'll find the article on the love triad or trust, forgiveness, and communion. But we're trying to increase these things, and here's how we can do it. Three things, simply. Empathy, shared reality, and shared boundaries. Now, empathy is the dictionary definition of empathy. Used to be. Things are changing in the dictionary, sadly, but used to be empathy was the physiological response to someone else's experience. So, you know, the physiological response is a change of heartbeat, change of breathing. Mm. Now, this is a choice I make. If a person walks into the room and shares with me that they're having a great day, or a very sad day. Maybe they've had a loss, and so I have a choice as to how vulnerable I can be, how the depth at which I can allow that other person's experience to affect me. Do I want to say to them, I'm sorry you're having a bad day, but I'm kind of busy here, and can you just push off and we can talk about it maybe some other time? Mm-hmm. So I don't have to be vulnerable, or I can say, gee, I'm sorry, but I'll get back to you on that. Or I can open up and be even more vulnerable. Let that person's experience really affect me and enter into that sorrow or into that joy with them when they suffer. The Bible says, suffer with those that suffer and rejoice with those who rejoice. We have a choice as to how vulnerable we're going to be. And then sharing reality is something like that. You know, that person's experience is not my experience, but I can understand it as their experience. You know, we have that saying, we tell one another, I understand. We know that we never really completely understand the other person's experience, but the offering, the attempt to understand and to be compassionate and to empathize, that's sharing the other person's reality. I don't really need to be completely understood by my wife, but she doesn't need to be completely understood by me, but we want to be heard. We want to be felt. You know, the feeling to be felt. You know, one person put it this way: each human being wants to know that they're held in the heart of the other, and so that's what marriage is about. And mm-hmm. And the third one is boundaries. And just to go into this quickly, boundaries are conduits. They are rules that make the relationship work. They're pathways. They're ways of getting the work done. So we have to say in marriage, you know, what is this relationship? What do we want it to be? The boundaries are the enablement to get us there. How we communicate, how we share, how we open ourselves. It's not boundaries are not just walls to keep people out. Boundaries are conduits. They are doors that open. They are access to these things. So. Once more, if you want that diagram, go to ChristianCounselorsForum.com. In the archives, you'll find a couple of interesting articles that I've referred to today. One is the Love Triad, or Trust, Forgiveness, and Communion. And the other one is this article on personalities, which will the diagram I've been referring to today is in the body of that article.
Okay, great stuff today. If you want more information from Daniel, maybe want to get some marriage counseling, how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. Also, people, do email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. I've got an office in Kirkland, an office in Edmonds, and I do a lot of Zoom for people with tight schedules or just don't want to fight the traffic.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.